The Green Bay Packers took care of business on Thursday evening, dispatching the Raiders 20-12 in a preseason game. Who looked good and who looked poor? We'll ask Justin Garcia of 620 WTMJ in Milwaukee. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about a win in a preseason game over the Oakland Raiders on Thursday evening. To do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone this morning.
Expert interview.
We have Justin Garcia of 620 WTMJ in Milwaukee and the Packers Radio Network. Mr. Garcia, how you doing this morning?
Doing good. How are you, Brian?
Very good. We're glad you could join us on the show. And for people that may not know you and know what kind of work you do, could you kind of start off by describing your role with 620 and the Packers Radio Network?
Sure. Well, it's kind of a jack of all trades. I've been with the Packers Radio Network. This is my ninth year. And I'm the coordinating studio producer, so it's basically making sure everything's set for the network broadcast. I produce the pregame show we do called Packers Preview, hosted by Dennis Krause. And I'll work with Dennis and Mark and Jeff Falconio, Mark Tauscher, the other hosts of the show, to make sure everything's in place and all the guests are coordinated. Any elements that we're going to play on the show, like interviews, those are all in there. Biggest task is basically just keeping the show moving because of the time frame we have to get through it, and keeping everything on track because it's going out to a network and not just our one station. So there's a lot of moving parts. It's a long day. I usually get to the station about 4 hours before kickoff. But it doesn't feel like work because, as I'm sure you know, it's something that we love. And it's a lot of fun. So like I said, I've been doing it for 9 years. I do a lot of stuff at WTMJ. I host shows on weekends. I work for the Bucks too. I don't want to change the subject, but I work on air on the Bucks Radio Network, and you know, working with guys like Dennis Krause and my boss, Carl Moll, is something that's really helped me come along and see what goes into network broadcast. So I think this job, long story short, basically helped me get there.
Very cool. I'm just curious, like next weekend when the Packers are on the West Coast, is that a really long day for you, seeing as it happens a little later than usual?
Well, yeah, because I do some other stuff too, so I'll be working, and then from there I'll go to the radio station, and next week I'll probably get there around 6, and we probably won't leave until somewhere close to 3 or 4 in the morning.
Well, I hope you get some sleep at some point that weekend, but we're glad to have you on the show this morning. Pardon me?
I was going to say caffeine's a big thing with everyone in the station. So.
Yeah, I can believe it. Well, we had a game last night, and all our listeners I know want to hear about that. So let's dig in here. I guess one question before we really get into the game here, because the big news before Thursday's game was that Jordy Nelson came off the PUP list. And Justin, how much do you think we'll see of Jordy Nelson the rest of the preseason?
I kind of feel like, and maybe I'm wrong, but I wouldn't be shocked if we don't see him. I know after the game he was talking with Larry McCarron, and he kept referencing 2 weeks from now and pointing to everything is about 2 weeks. So you just look at how cautious Mike McCarthy has been with Aaron Rodgers, and you look at the dip the offense took last year, dropping to 23rd. Aaron Rodgers' yards per attempt were the lowest of his career since he'd been a starter, and you see the importance Jordy Nelson holds. If we do see him, I think it would be this week, and it would be a series or two. But just based off the way he was talking after the game, and the cautious approach we've seen. And Jordy Nelson kept talking about practice, too, and looking forward to getting on the same page with Aaron Rodgers at practice. I kind of feel like they're just going to use practice as the way to work him back in and get him up to speed, and there's a good chance we don't see him this preseason.
Yeah, we saw him last night kind of before the game actually take part in pregame warm-ups a little bit, which was interesting to see, seeing as he didn't play in the game. But we'll see how the Packers handle it. But to get at the game at hand, unfortunately last night we saw Brett Hundley get injured and not return after already injuring the same ankle earlier in training camp. Justin, do you think this is something that's going to linger for the young quarterback?
Well, I mean, I guess there's a good chance when you re-injure something that it'll linger. Hopefully it's not anything we have to worry about, because if we're talking about Brett Hundley having to take some extensive snaps, there's much bigger problems. But it was frustrating that, you know, he's finally healthy and you want to kind of give him a chance to show you what he can do here. And they had said they planned on playing at least the entire first half before that injury. He's a guy that played really well in the preseason last year. I think he was the top-rated passer or threw for the most yards of any quarterback in preseason. He looked good on that first drive, commanding the offense. His teammates all speak very highly of him, so there is some intrigue. But I know the Raiders talked about it on their broadcast. The biggest thing with him is still it's a much different system than what he ran in college, so you want to get him as many reps as you can. So to me, I guess that's more concerning than an injury lingering, because if it does and they have to, there is some veterans out there. I mean, everybody's favorite guy, Matt Flynn, is still out there. So if there is a lingering injury, you could bring him on there. I think it's more frustrating that you just want to give him more and more reps and get him acclimated to this system and not necessarily what he ran at UCLA.
All right, Justin Garcia starting the Matt Flynn train. I'm going to attribute that to you. I'm just kidding, but we'll continue to monitor Hundley's situation. Unfortunate that he got injured, and the Packers obviously erring on the side of caution, not letting him take a single snap past getting injured. On the positive side of the ledger, how impressive was Eddie Lacy in the first-string offensive line opening up holes in the running game early last night?
Well, I guess to me, that's what was even more impressive was the overall play of the offensive line. And it shouldn't be surprising, because this is the line, when you count up all their snaps, they've played the most snaps together of any line in football the last 2 years. And they're healthy. I mean, I know J.C. Tretter was out there, but they're relatively healthy again. They're one of the best 3 to 5 offensive lines in football. And really, throughout the preseason, I think you've seen that. Now, there are opening holes for Eddie Lacy, but it's encouraging to see what he was doing when those holes were open. I think he's averaging about 5 yards a carry so far this preseason, nearly identical to what he did last preseason. So it just goes to show you how much you can really gauge from this. But Lacy's interesting, because was he bad last year? Yes. But I think he had more good games than people remember. I mean, over 100, I think 125 against the Cowboys. He had those back-to-back 100-yard games against the Vikings and the Bears. And in the playoffs, I think overall he played relatively well as well. So he played good early. I know he didn't play that well against the Seahawks and Chiefs, but overall good early. It was the middle of the season where it really started to slide before he picked up his play at the end of the season. So I guess overall your concerns with Lacy are somewhat diminished because of the line you have, but it was good to see Eddie Lacy attacking the holes that were open for him last night.
Yeah, the running game working for sure against the Raiders on Thursday evening. We're talking to Justin Garcia of 620 WTMJ here at Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Justin, how do you view the matchup between Jason Spriggs and Khalil Mack? Did Mack make Spriggs look bad, or was it a good learning experience? How do you come away from this game?
Well, I guess I would come down on the side that it was a good experience for Jason Spriggs to go against one of the elite. I mean, Khalil Mack, a lot of guys look bad, but Spriggs is intriguing because overall you like the strength that he has and you like his size at 6'8", but there's still some rawness there to his game. And not to say that he's a raw prospect, but especially given a second round pick, but there are still some things he needs to work on and improve. And I guess the benefit is, he's coming to a team with a veteran offensive line where he's not going to be called upon, at least knock on wood, extensively. So I think it was good for Jason Spriggs to get out there and play against some of the premier guys and see what he has to do to improve his game if he's going to play at this level.
Absolutely. A learning experience for sure for Jason Spriggs. John Crockett scored a touchdown each of the first two games. Do you think that gives him a leg up for the third running back job in training camp?
I think overall, if you just survey the roster now, you would have to assume John Crockett is going to be the third running back. And I don't see any way. I know they've done it in the past, but especially with John Kuhn gone and the question marks you had with Eddie Lacy last year, I don't see any way you can keep any less than three running backs. He does have the two touchdowns. To me, he looked a lot better last night than he did in the first week of the preseason against the Browns. He's more involved in the passing game. But the other thing is, when you look at all the guys behind him on this depth chart, guys like Don Jackson, Brandon Burks, I know Brandon Burks was good against the Browns, but they haven't really done anything to catch your attention, and they haven't really had good camps. So I don't really want to say it's by default, but so far, yeah, you would have to say the familiarity and the way he's played, that he hasn't been great, but he hasn't looked bad. Crockett does have the lead. Now, he still does need to improve some things. I think the biggest thing the coaching staff keeps harping on with him is he's going to have to improve his play on special teams, because if you're a third-string running back, that's going to be where a bulk of your playing time's coming at. But if you told me it had to be one of the guys on the roster now, I think there's no doubt it's John Crockett.
Let's turn our attention to the defensive side of the football. What did you think of Demarius Randall coming up with an interception while covering Amari Cooper in a battle of two first-round draft picks last year?
Yeah, it was interesting. I don't know how you felt about it, but when you saw the draft pick of Demarius Randall and you heard the plan of, well, this safety we're going to have playing extensively at cornerback, I think it raised a lot of eyebrows. I had questions on, do we really want to do this? But, you look at the way Randall played last year. He started to come into his own, I'd say, around November or so. And you look at the way he defended other guys. He became a very good coverage corner, which it shouldn't be a big surprise given the coverage skills he had at safety and widely viewed as the best coverage safety in the draft last year. But defended 14 passes, that led the team. I think it was around 15th in the NFL, three interceptions. Overall, when you look back at his season, I think it was very good. It's just marred by blown coverage on the big play against Larry Fitzgerald in the playoffs. But, not just Randall, I think all these cornerbacks that the Packers have, they are loaded there. I would say it is their deepest position and probably their best position if you take Aaron Rodgers and quarterback out of the mix here, that I feel very good about where they are, not just with Randall, but guys like Quentin Rollins, that there's a lot of depth there and a lot of guys that I think are playing better than they expected at this level.
Absolutely. Good position for the Packers to be in with depth at the cornerback position. Finally, Justin, before we let you go, a special teams question. What do you make of the battle at punter? Because it's kind of becoming interesting, I think.
Yeah, it is interesting. It kind of reminds you of the kicking battle that happened, 3 or 4 years ago. Interestingly enough, with Giorgio Tavecchio, who was in town last night with the Raiders, and Mason Crosby. I don't think it's, I know people are kind of intrigued by Peter Mordell and what he's done first 2 weeks of preseason here. I think last week he definitely had the leg up, no pun intended, but nothing really stood out last night when you look at these two guys. And for the flaws that Maste has, and I think he has regressed somewhat the last few years, it's still going to be a big question lingering to me, at least, in terms of not just kicking the ball, but holding the ball. And do you feel comfortable getting a new holder in there? As minimal as it sounds to most of us, but it is a big thing to the other unit. Are you going to be comfortable with changing that up because of the familiarity that Maste has doing that job and familiarity with Mason Crosby? So I think if Maste is going to lose this job, he has to be severely outkicked in these final two games. Peter Mordell is going to have a fantastic run here these next 2 weeks to kind of offset any concerns that they would have in that kicking game.
Yeah, I think Mike McCarthy referenced coming down to the very last preseason game and making a decision on that. So, something to watch in the last few games. Justin Garcia, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk to us this morning. Greatly appreciated after what I'm sure was a late night last night. So appreciate you talking to us early in the morning, just a few hours later. Thanks so much for providing your insight both into the Packers Radio Network and on the game last night. And we'd love to have you again sometime.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime. Thanks for the invite.
Okay, thank you. Justin Garcia of 620 WTMJ joining us here at Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, join us as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
Okay, so I'm going to get to my thoughts on the game in a second here. But just one pretty much note here. The report yesterday from the Green Bay Press Gazette is that Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers plan to submit to interviews with the NFL regarding the PED allegations made in the Al Jazeera documentary. So if you remember, these two Packers players faced suspensions if they did not cooperate. So looking like they're going to simply avoid, being suspended for non-cooperation. Of course, they're still potentially subject to suspension if they were found to have, any role in using PEDs or even just purchasing them, perhaps. Obviously, we have a lot to learn yet. We don't know when precisely they're going to submit to these interviews. The deadline has been set as August 25th, and if they didn't, they would be suspended as of August 26th. That was in a letter from the NFL's Adolfo Birch. But anyway, so this is the latest update we've had. Until we learn more, I spent a good deal of time talking about this topic in our last episode of Railbird Central, so I don't really want to get into it then, other than just to update people on what's the latest here on the situation, and there you have it. So, but to get into the game last night, once again, I'm going to take this approach every preseason game. We'll see. But I think it's an easy way to do it and share some thoughts on the game, basically going position by position and sharing some thoughts on a player or two that stood out to me either negatively or positively from last night's game as a way of kind of, rewinding it and taking a look back at it. We're just going to go through the roster here, starting with the quarterback position. I thought was an unfortunate break for Brett Hundley to get injured. The word is, again, according to Mike, the interview I heard from Mike McCarthy after the game, listening to the Packers Radio Network, coincidentally, saying they don't think it's as severe as the first time he injured his ankle, so that's good news. That being said, I don't know how the Packers can really play Brett Hundley the rest of the preseason. I think they just have to kind of save him from here on out. And maybe it's a little easy in that regard, in that, upcoming year, the third preseason game, Aaron Rodgers is actually going to see his first action. So, Aaron Rodgers will probably play about a half or so, you have to think. And so, that's, one half. Brett Hundley doesn't have to play. And then just Joe Callahan and Marquise Williams will play the remainder. And I imagine Joe Callahan will get a long extended look in that fourth preseason game as well. So he's getting a lot of playing time this preseason. Maybe that's a good thing if the Packers plan on, holding on to him as the third quarterback, even if it's on the practice squad. Obviously Callahan played the most of any quarterback last night. And I thought, he did a good job extending plays. He was under pressure a fair amount. Even there were times where he was kind of extending plays where maybe there wasn't all that much pressure. But I thought he did a good job extending plays and even throwing or running. He showed he's got, not great athletic ability, but he was able to gain some yards on the run. And there were plays where he would actually pass on the run as well and completed some passes. Once again, I think Joe Callahan can be a very good number three quarterback for the Green Bay Packers with continued development and a guy who's just there all the time and learns the Packers system. I think it's going to be tough for him to be any more than a number three. My thoughts haven't changed on that. But again, maybe a year from now, after he's got a year under his belt, maybe my mind will change on that. But yeah, I just think he's doing a really good job for an undrafted Division III rookie. I don't think you can ask for a whole lot more from Joe Callahan than what we're seeing right now. So that's a good. And Brett Hundley played really well in the limited action he saw. He looked like he had a total command of that offense, even though the Packers ran it a lot. He just looked comfortable in there. He looked like Aaron Rodgers back there that first drive of the game, hitting a few nice completions. I know to Jared Cook for one, so that was nice to see. And Marquise Williams really just got a little bit of playing time at the end. Not a whole lot to say there. In fact, he didn't even I'm not even sure he attempted a pass, or he did, and he got sacked once, something like that. Ran it a few times, so not much to say on Marquise Williams. The running backs, I thought the story of last night was John Crockett. Obviously Eddie Lacy played really well. And I thought even more so than Lacy was the way the offensive line opened up holes for him, which I thought was great. And we'll get to the offensive line in a moment. So Eddie Lacy for a second consecutive game playing really well, which is great. But then, John Crockett, obviously the Packers giving him a nice long look. He probably played more snaps than any running back on the roster last night. And, he didn't look great by any stretch of the imagination, but I think he's solidifying himself as the Packers' number three back out there. But I'll say this, I do wish John Crockett had a little higher leg carry, because now for 2 weeks in a row, both in the first preseason game and this game last night, he's gotten tripped up on screen passes where you think he should have been able to break them a little bit longer if he could have just got by one more defender. And in both cases, it was like diving tackle attempts by this defender in which they're just kind of clipping his legs. And I thought, boy, if you just, get those knees up a little bit higher and have a little higher leg carry, it might be a little bit easier for you to maintain your balance after you get hit and things like that. I'd like to see that out of John Crockett, just a little bit more burst there. Hopefully we see that improve. I'm not sure how much you can improve, because a guy's speed is what it is. I mean, there's probably not a whole lot more they can do to get more speed. Maybe there's some tiny, small, incremental improvement you can make, and maybe that's a thing for him to focus on next offseason. But for now, I think it is what it is. So I think John Crockett has a stranglehold on the number three running back position. Brandon Burks may be a guy to carry on the practice squad for sure. I have nothing wrong with that. But I don't think the Packers can cut John Crockett in favor of a Brandon Burks, even if Burks looks fine. I got no problem with if there's a injury bringing up Brandon Burks or carrying him on the roster or anything like that. But at this point, John Crockett, I think he's almost locked in. Obviously, you let the rest of the preseason play out just in case an injury happens. But for me, he's got it. Wide receivers. There's not a whole ton to comment on the wide receivers. They really didn't even catch all that many passes last night. If I wanted to focus on one thing, kind of one observation, I could see what everyone's been talking about with Geronimo Allison, because me as a guy who hasn't been able to see a practice live in person this year, I saw Family Night on TV like a lot of people did, which was good. But Geronimo Allison did nice catching that one slant pass for 18 yards. And maybe I'm being a bit harsh on him, but I thought he could have done more to catch basically the same play from the opposite side of the field The very next play, so back-to-back plays, they throw passes to Geronimo Allison's kind of both slants in towards the center of the field. I thought he could have been more aggressive. I thought he, the second time around, that second pass, I thought he'd get, be more aggressive, do more to shield the ball from the defender with his body. Again, maybe I'm being a little bit harsh on him with that, but it was nice to see. You could see the athleticism. You could see that fluidity. You could see the threat he poses with his side on that one pass he caught, the first one on the slant. And then the second, I thought, was a little bit of a learning experience. But yeah, I mean, that's really my only takeaway from the wide receiver position, seeing as, you know, the rest of the guys didn't catch all that many passes. And what they did was kind of, you know, just what you expected, kind of, you know, Ty Montgomery caught a couple passes. Jared Aberderis, I think, caught one. Devontae Adams looked good with a nice 31-yard game. So that was good there for him. But that's about it from the wide receivers. Tight end, same thing here. Nothing, you know, jumping out at you, but there were two nice catches from Kennard Backman. And I think he's just continuing to make progress, which is great because we saw, you know, almost nothing from him his rookie year. He obviously didn't even play. He may have played special teams in during the regular season last year and not really coming away with any, you know, noticeable from the preseason last year. But he's continuing to play well, although you can just tell the Packers are higher on Justin Perillo based on his higher special teams workload. Justin Perillo is really getting a lot of snaps out there on special teams as compared to a Kennard Backman. So I would say Justin Perillo at this point has the inside track on the number three tight end job. Even if Backman is improving, I think there's a chance the Packers can carry four tight ends on the roster this year. Obviously, I'm not married to that idea yet. Still two more preseason games to go and 2 weeks of practice to make a decision on that. But good to see Kennard Backman making progress, if nothing else. The offensive line. I thought the first-string offensive line was dominant in their one or two possessions that they have and opening up holes for Eddie Lacy, really big holes for that matter. And especially J.C. Tretter stood out to me. And for the first time, I thought he might be hard to displace in the starting lineup once Corey Linsley gets healthy. And this is really the first time I've ever thought that. I've kind of always assumed Corey Linsley was the incumbent and would become the starter once he gets healthy and returns. But J.C. Tretter is really looking good out there, and just considering this hamstring injury that Corey Linsley has and whether he's back to 100% or not. I mean, if he's only back to, you know, 98, 99%, why are you going to put him out there when J.C. Tretter is looking great? So, I mean, that was really encouraging from that standpoint. And, I mean, the entire offensive line from left to right, the starters looked great last night. And just good for them to come out of there, you know, early in the game. No reason to leave them out there after a series or so. And that's what they did. So, but yeah, J.C. Tretter really looking good. And obviously, I think the story on the offensive line, apart from the starters, would be Jason Spriggs. I come from the standpoint that I think it was a great experience for Spriggs to become humbled and learn he has a long way to go after being schooled by Khalil Mack, who was the one who, you know, hit Hundley when his ankle became injured. He gave up, I believe, a sack on Joe Callahan. There was some pressure there on Joe Callahan a few times. So there was a lot that Jason Spriggs had to learn from getting beat, especially around the edge. And I know one time he thought maybe he had a little bit of help from the running back, but you could tell the running back's job was just to chip. It wasn't to full on help out and take on a pass rusher. So I mean, my standpoint is I think it was a great learning experience. Hopefully this just motivates Jason Spriggs to work harder, lift more weights, watch more film, everything he needs to do to become a better player in the NFL, because I think he will, but maybe it takes something like this to really kind of, you know, maybe you're riding high if you're Jason Spriggs. You were a day two draft choice, but that being said, the Packers traded up to get him. You know, that's got to be a little lift of your emotions, thinking, man, I'm so good, a team has to trade up to get me. And maybe this, you know, brings him back down to earth. Not that I think he's been, you know, cocky by any means, but just really, you know, kind of putting into, you know, I don't know, making him realize that, you know, it's going to be really tough to succeed in the NFL. And it's good because I think, you know, the Packers aren't relying on Jason Spriggs at this point. It's simply he's playing a backup role to David Bakhtiari and Brian Bulaga. And yeah, so there you go. I mean, that's my thoughts there on Jason Spriggs in the offensive line. And it just nice to see Kyle Murphy finally get out there after missing the first game and you know, a couple weeks with a concussion there. And same for the newly signed center, Kyle Stuck. Just good for them to get some game experience under their belt finally, and they keep progressing. Moving to the defensive side of the football, the defensive line, not much notable from the defensive line, but I did make it a point to watch Kenny Clark a few times. And what I saw, I liked his ability to use his arms to keep blockers away from his body. That shows some good upper body strength. That shows a little bit of that wrestling ability that's gotten some attention. People have noted that Kenny Clark was a former high school wrestler along with Mike Daniels, so they both kind of have that experience in their background and showing, you know, how that can translate to the game of football. But yeah, I just watched it. Kenny Clark didn't really make, I'm not sure if he even made a tackle last night, but I just thought he was able to lock out those arms and keep those blockers away from him. And I thought that was really good. That's what I like to see from a defensive lineman and a guy especially who's expected to be part of the rotation and see some significant playing time this year. Early on with Mike Pinnell being suspended and things like that. So good for that to be happening with sorry about the phone calls here. I should have unplugged my phone before the show or after, at least I talked to Justin Garcia. But anyway, back on track here. Linebackers. Once again, impressed by Carl Bradford. Second game in a row here. He looks the part out there. And, you know, it's looking like they're considering him on special teams, which means they could be considering carrying him on the 53-man roster. So getting a nice long look both on defense and in that other phase of the game on special teams, which is really good for Carl Bradford. I mean, you know, basically a non-entity his first 2 years in the NFL. And even if he's not a starter, it makes me feel good that if the Packers suffer an injury there, that he could step in and the Packers not losing a beat at inside linebacker. Or I'll, maybe it's time to start giving Ted Thompson credit. I've maybe been among the most outspoken critics of him and his kind of shying away from addressing the inside linebacker position early in the NFL draft for several years running here. I really like the unit the Packers are putting together here between Bradford and Blake Martinez and Sam Barrington. And Joe, I think Joe Thomas is playing well. Jake Ryan's obviously been hurt, and hopefully he gets back soon. But Bradford looks the part out there. And I just think he's really pressing for a roster spot. So good for him on Thursday evening. In the secondary, defensive back Kentrell Bryce is going to be difficult to cut because I don't know if he's as good a special teams player as Chris Banjo right now. Obviously, you know, Banjo made his name on special teams last year being a playoff captain, and really I think he made the most tackles on the team in special teams. But I do think already I think Kentrell Bryce is a better defensive player than Chris Banjo. And we saw Chris Banjo getting snaps with the first string defense last night. And part of that could very well be because Morgan Burnett was injured. And maybe if he was out there, they would decide to do something different if this were a regular season game. But Kentrell Bryce just has a nose for the football. He's always around it. He's a solid tackler, really not afraid to stick his nose in there. Has some very good range, has some very good athletic ability. And I have no reason to think Kentrell Bryce couldn't contribute on special teams as well. This guy's going to be a tough cut. He's one of those guys where if you cut him, you would love to have him on the practice squad. He would be the highest priority of the practice squad players because you could see him, you know, envision him having a role down the road for sure. But he's one of those guys where you cut him and you worry that some other team's going to pick him up. So he's going to be a really difficult cut. He's going to be in that contention for that number 53 spot on the roster, I think. You know, if the Packers could choose to keep like five safeties this year, I don't know if they'll have that luxury or not. And again, I mean, this is a discussion for 2 weeks down the road because a lot of times injuries can make those decisions for you. Obviously, if the Packers suffer an injury at safety, he may be in. But even if not at safety, you know, an injury at another position can open up the door for a guy like Kentrell Bryce. But just really standing out on film and live action, really, not even on film. I mean, he stands out when you watch it live. And just another thought on Demaryius Randall making the nice interception. I personally don't think the announcer, I know Kevin Harlan kind of harped on this a little bit during the broadcast of last night's game, but he talked about, you know, potentially there being pass interference on that, you know, intended pass to Amari Cooper. And to tell you the truth, I really don't believe there was pass interference there because it looks worse on slow motion replay than it was in real time. Obviously, Demaryius Randall touched him. There's no doubt about that. He had both arms kind of extended. But I think when you watch it on slow motion, just because it's being slowed down, it looks as if he's kind of stopping him because it's slow. It's slow. But if you watch that play in real time, yes, he touches him, but I don't think Demaryius Randall impeded progress whatsoever. I don't think he was pressing Amari Cooper all that hard. All he was doing was just touching him a little bit. I don't think he shoved him. I don't think he impeded any progress. I don't think that's pass interference at all there. I think that was just a play, nice play by Demaryius Randall. And we saw him get beat earlier in the game on the sideline as well. Things weren't all hunky-dory for Demaryius Randall last night. But just like last year, if you can make up for that with turnover-inducing plays, that's the important thing. If you're making turnovers, you're going to see the field. So good for Demaryius Randall and great for Josh Hawkins to grab his first interception. Especially because I don't think Josh Hawkins played the first game. I think he sat out with an injury that first week, if I'm correct. So for him in his first action to make a splash play, even if it's late in the game against third stringers, I mean, hey, you make a splash play, it gets people to turn their heads. And who knows? I mean, he could even be in contention for the 53rd roster spot if he keeps doing well, or even the practice squad, if nothing else. And finally, special teams, and I know Justin Garcia kind of, you know, talked about this as well, but I just wanted to point out, Peter Mortel got, I don't know how much you want to read into this, but Peter Mortel got the first opportunity to hold for Mason Crosby's, was it an extra point? And Peter Mortel got the first opportunity last night. I don't know if that means he's the starter on holds or whatever. I know Tim Mastay has a lot of experience doing so. But yeah, again, just incredibly encouraged by what Peter Mortel has done from the standpoint that I was discouraged with his showing during family night, and maybe it was because of nerves. But I think two games in a row now, he's punted really well, punted better than Tim Maste. Maste obviously had one block, but that wasn't his fault. Looked to be the fault of Ladarius Gunter, who's got to learn from that. Not sure if there's anybody else who was also at fault there. But yeah, Peter Martell, I think, could be, he's at least neck and neck, if nothing else, with Tim Maste, and this really could come down to the end. Sometimes it's tough. Like you almost don't want to carry, because that last preseason game, you've already cut down the roster once to 75 people. It's like you don't want to carry an extra punter. You want to have an extra position player because you don't want to have your starters out on the field in that fourth preseason game. But it might have to come down to the fourth game anyway between Martell and Maste. Really getting interesting out there in that battle. So there's your thoughts on last night's preseason game. And just kind of my knee-jerk reactions to what I saw on the field, and we'll wrap it up with this.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, this Friday, today's the day for the team to review film. There is no practice on Friday, no training camp, so don't expect to see that. It'll be an especially important day for a guy like Jason Spriggs, who's going to learn a whole lot from watching his film going up against Khalil Mack. So that's what's happening in the world of the Green Bay Packers today, and for the next few days. In fact, pretty much over the course of the weekend, no practice here. No practice Friday, just a film day. The Packers are practicing Saturday, but it's not open to the public. Kind of one of the few times the day before a game during training camp where they're not having a practice here. There's probably some things they want to work on behind closed doors. It may be one of those cases where they're starting preparations for the regular season here, and they don't want that to get out. They don't want fans in the stands or anybody to talk about what they're doing. So that doesn't get out there. So yeah, that's happening Saturday, and then again, no practice Sunday, pardon me. Friday and Sunday, no practice, just probably a day of rest in which they want to get these guys, get their bodies right, because that next preseason game coming this upcoming Friday here. So the next practice open to the public is on Monday. That'll be your next opportunity for fans, the media, to see this team up close. So yeah, if you want to see the Packers practice, go plan or prepare for Monday, when you can see them in action on Ray Nitschke Field. And that does it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you everybody so much for joining us this morning. Thank you to Justin Garcia of 620 WTMJ and the Packers Radio Network for talking some football with us this morning. Glad to have his insight on the show. And my call to action, if you've not done so already, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us a rating and a review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask because the show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. So if you could do us a solid, just go to iTunes and search Cheesehead TV and it'll pop right up. Give us that 5-star rating and a brief little review. Doesn't have to be anything long, but what it does is it helps get word out about the show because it helps people find it when they're Googling for Packers podcast and things like that. And we think this is a service to Packers fans and hopefully one they enjoy. So we'd greatly appreciate it if you would do that. But that does it. On behalf of everybody at Cheesehead TV, I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you on Monday, folks. Railbird Central typically every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. The live edition of the show. It'll be podcasted and on demand later in the day. So yeah, that's our schedule. We'll see you, folks. Have a good weekend. We'll see you again on Monday. I leave you today with a song called Can't Wait Another Day by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack Go.
pace the hall, just waiting for your call, anticipating your next move, it's got me bouncing off the wall.